Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is a clinical focus podcast. Each week or so, we tackle yet another in the cavalcade of medical problems that confront us humans. And this week, we are discussing urinary problems, in particular urinary tract infections, but also bladder sensitivity and urinary frequency. We're going to choose to do a separate clinical focus on prostate problems that cause men to urinate frequently. But as we continue our discussion, I wanted to provide you with some specific solutions and strategies for dealing with urinary problems. So we talked about food allergies as a possible precipitant of urinary discomfort. And that needs to be individualized. It can be dairy, it can be wheat, it can be citrus, it can be any number of foods. Typical bladder irritants are alcohol, coffee, and spicy foods. Very frequently, they can cause bladder irritation. I mean, coffee literally is a diuretic, so is alcohol, but they can also be irritating the surface of the bladder, and so can certain spices. When in a condition called interstitial cystitis, which is a specific condition that has to be diagnosed, you can't just say, well, I think I have interstitial cystitis. No, you need to get properly diagnosed by a urologist. But if you have that condition, one of the strategies is to go on a low oxalate diet. Oxalate lists are easy to find on the internet. They include healthy foods like black tea. And many fruits and vegetables. They're rich in oxalates. Oxalates can sometimes have an irritating effect on the bladder wall, especially in the condition of interstitial cystitis. I would say that's about a 40% thing in my patients who have that condition. They are helped by a low oxalate diet with the addition of calcium citrate. Why calcium citrate? Because calcium and citrate, calcium binds to the oxalate in the intestine, and it then goes out via your stool instead of out in your urine. So this can be a useful strategy for overcoming the discomfort of interstitial cystitis. There's a supplement that can be used in interstitial cystitis because the bladder wall is protected by things called GAGs, GAG proteins, glycosaminoglycans. And one of the ways to support the GAG proteins in your bladder wall is to take a supplement called NAG. You know, like the old song, NAG, 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 NAGGETY, NAG. That's a song from the, I guess, 1950s. The NAG stands for N-acetylglucosamine. And we give it to our patients with ulcerative colitis. You can take, I'm sorry, interstitial cystitis. You can take 500 milligrams three times daily if you're suffering from that problem. Okay, so one of the strategies that can be used, especially in postmenopausal women, for treatment of urinary discomfort or frequent urinary tract infections is to address the estrogen situation. And the estrogen can be administered as an oral estrogen or as a topical cream to the skin, not necessarily right down there. But also, estrogen can be administered vaginally. And there is a product called the S-ring, which is prescribed often by gynecologists. It's actually natural estrogen, topical estradiol, which is inserted via a ring that stays in the vagina. And that can actually travel to the urethra and travel to the bladder, thus increasing the bladder's capacity to hold urine, but also to is supporting the immunity, the natural immunity of the bladder and the external opening of the urethra. As I said in the part one of our podcast, sometimes the desiccation or atrophy of the tissue near the external opening can make it more likely that bacteria can be introduced down there. So estrogen is one of the strategies that can be used. But, you know, for some women, that's either they don't want to be on estrogen, they're concerned about cancer risk, or they can't be because of a previous history of cancer. But it's actually a pretty effective solution. And the type of estrogen that I like to use is something called estriol vaginal cream. It has to be naturally, it has to be compounded by a natural pharmacy, but it's really quite safe. It's great as a something that helps to restore the ability to have sex without pain if you're suffering from painful intercourse, but it also helps to reduce the susceptibility to urinary tract infections. By the way, those two problems go hand in hand, painful intercourse and susceptibility to urinary tract infections, very commonly associated, and they can be addressed by a little bit of just topical estrogen that you apply for maybe 10 days to 2 weeks nightly, inserting it vaginally or applying the cream to the external area. And then you don't need to apply it continually. You can use it sparingly, perhaps a couple of times a week on an ongoing basis, just providing a little bit of estrogen to keep the area from becoming atrophied. I sometimes use the old expression, a little dab will do you. That's from the old Brill Cream commercials. Okay, another fascinating area of natural treatment and prevention of urinary tract infections is with probiotics. Now, questions remain as to the right types of probiotics. We're just beginning to explore this. But a review of this subject in something called Evidence-Based Medicine 2013 shows that a recent study using Lactobacillus probiotics by mouth orally restored vaginal lactobacilli flora and reduced the colonization of bad bacteria. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean that it reduced urinary tract infections. I think we're a little ways away from conclusive proof that probiotics of the right types can prevent urinary tract infections, but there's pretty good evidence suggesting that that might be the case. Two guys that are really in the forefront of this research are researchers named Dr. Reed and Dr. Bruce. And in the early 2000s, they started writing about urogenital infections in women. Can probiotics help? And they've written quite a few articles on this. And their writings are actually the basis of a product that is called Femdophilus that is made by Gero. Gero is a company that makes nutritional supplements. And Femdophilus is designed to be taken orally, but can also be, you can open the capsules and you can apply them locally. And what I suggest is that women take one or two capsules and mix it with water, and then use a bulb syringe, not a turkey baster from a hardware store, but you can get a bulb syringe that is used for administering medications to babies. It's a cleaner, sterile instrument, and then literally baste or apply some of these probiotics directly to the external opening, the urinary meatus area, to recolonize that area with beneficial bacteria. The reason for that is that there's some studies that suggest that just by taking this stuff orally, it's not necessarily going to go to the vagina or to the area around the urinary opening. And however, it doesn't necessarily mean that oral probiotics are worthless, because we know that the very self-same bacteria that infect the bladder do come from the digestive tract, because that opening is very close to the urinary opening. And so, you know, it's probably a good idea to take these probiotics orally as well as to apply them locally. I can't see a lot of reason not to. Results from various studies, they write, indicate that the recurrence rate of UTI can be significantly reduced using one or two capsules vaginally per week for 1 year with no side effects or yeast infections. So they did the preliminary research. This is going to help some women who have frequent urinary tract infections. So now let's talk about something called D-mannose, which I think is actually one of the very useful tools in our arsenal against urinary tract infections. And we have Jonathan Wright to thank for this. Dr. Jonathan Wright is a integrated physician who practices in Washington State, who's a real pioneer in this field, and he is virtually the one who single-handedly has popularized the use of D-mannose for urinary tract infections. So thanks to him, we know about it. And it's helped many of my patients. I've had patients who have really problems that predispose to urinary tract infections. I didn't mention in part one that one of the conditions that predispose to urinary tract infections is multiple sclerosis. Because of the neurological problems, sometimes there's retention of urine. And I have several female MS patients who got urinary tract infection after urinary tract infection until they began taking D-mannose. And they faithfully take it, and they don't get urinary tract infections anymore. So it's really quite useful, even in women who are predisposed to infections. What it is, it's a simple sugar that acts similarly to cranberry juice. We'll talk about that in just a moment, in that it helps, it doesn't so much kill the bacteria, but it helps to prevent the E. coli from adhering to the bladder wall. These E. coli have like little hooks or protrusions from their surface called pili, P-I-L-I, which are, I think it's from the Greek word for javelins. And these little pili or spears grab onto the wall. Well, the D-mannose seems to coat the bladder wall and providing sort of a Teflon protection for the bladder wall so the bacteria don't stick. There's not, unfortunately, enough clinical trials on this, but one study evaluated the effect of D-mannose on 73 E. coli strains from women who suffered recurrent UTIs, and 90% of the strains taken from the urinary tract, the vaginal tract, or from anal sources were actually able to stick to epithelial cells. So they had the potential to infect the bladder wall. But when D-mannose was applied, it completely inhibited the adherence of about half of those strains. And the rest of them had significant reduction in their ability to adhere to epithelial or surface cells of the bladder. So the dose that Jonathan Wright recommends and that I also suggest to my patients is about 1/2 to 1 teaspoon three times daily mixed in a little water. And it's sweet tasting, so it's fine. You can even mix it with a little bit of cranberry juice. And it is available from many nutritionally oriented pharmacies. Remember that capsules may not be as effective because you can take a lot of capsules. Its powder form is more effective because a teaspoon is actually 4 or 5 grams. And most capsules aren't bigger than a gram, so you'd have to take 5 capsules three times daily to get 1 teaspoon three times daily. Usually a little more if you're having an infection, and after a while you can go to less frequent administration with lower dose, you know, maybe 1/2 teaspoon twice daily for maintenance if you're not very prone to infections. Cranberry juice is kind of controversial because some studies show that it doesn't do anything. And other studies say that it is the bomb for urinary tract infection protection. It was thought for a while that the active ingredient in cranberry juice was hippuric acid. But it's now thought this is not the major mechanism of action. It is thought that there are components in cranberry juice that are like D-mannose, sugar-like substances that prevent the ability of E. coli to stick to the lining of the bladder and urethra. And so, you know, studies go back and forth on this. It also turns out that blueberry may contain some of these properties. The problem with cranberry juice is that most commercial brands are quite sweetened. So what I recommend is that patients take 1/4 cup of the concentrate. I usually recommend the Hain brand of the concentrate, which is very tart, and that they dilute it with water. And drink 1/4 cup 2 or 3 times daily for prevention of urinary tract infections. The capsules may be an effective substitute, cranberry tabs or capsules, although that's not clearly been shown. And so one side issue on cranberry is that cranberry may somewhat increase the risk for the most common type of kidney stones because they're fairly high in oxalic acid content. So that might be a consideration if there are, if there's a risk for oxalic acid stones. Another natural remedy for urinary tract infections is Uvaerce or bearberry. And it turns out that it has a, contains a urinary antibacterial called arbutin. And it is pretty good, I think, prophylactically. It's even good for mild urinary tract infections. You know, here's how we have to use some of these things. I mean, if you have a really serious urinary tract infection, you're going to need an antibiotic. But many women will have a little urinary discomfort. We'll test and we'll find some bacteria. But before we use a heavy-duty antibiotic, we may try D-mannose, say, with some Uvaerce, maybe drinking cranberry juice and hydrating. And actually, many studies are now showing that, you know, just like we, you know, used to say every sinusitis had to be treated with antibiotics, every bronchitis needed to be treated with antibiotics. Now we're seeing, and every ear infection in kids, now we're seeing that urinary tract infections in women can actually be self-limited. So you really need supervision of a health practitioner to make sure that it's going away. But I find that many of my patients, when they employ these natural strategies, and we repeat a test, the test shows, A, that there's less bacteria in the urine, B, that there are less white cells. There's a sensitive test that can be done with a dipstick. It's called leukocyte esterase. And these dipsticks you can actually purchase, and you can test your own urine. And the leukocyte esterase turns magenta or purple if there's a high level of white blood cell activity in your urine or pus in your urine. And if it's clear, that means your urine is okay. This may be a way that people can self-monitor the therapy with some interaction or supervision of their health practitioner. I mentioned Uvaerce. There's a problem with Uvaerce, though, because high doses of Uvaerce can be toxic. And so I recommend a short course of tincture or capsules, not to exceed 10 days or 2 weeks with Uvaerce. It's not something that can be continually used. So it limits the effectiveness of Uvaerce. Another natural product that can be helpful against many infections. I mean, there are actually several. One of our favorites is olive leaf extract. It has antibacterial effects, and it's pretty non-toxic. You can use high levels of olive leaf extract. It will be excreted in the urine, even three capsules, three times daily. We have a brand called olive leaf extract at drhoffman.com. Garlic, both raw garlic and garlic capsules. And for this, I wouldn't recommend necessarily the chiolic aged garlic extract. That's more for cardiovascular protection and for cancer prevention. Just good old-fashioned garlic capsules, maybe garlic. This would be something that you can take to concentrate in the urine, and it has antibacterial effects. Another natural antibacterial is Hydrastis, which is golden seal, or alternatively, you can get berberine from Oregon grapefruit. Berberine is in the news these days for its ability to treat diabetes and normalize blood sugar, but before that, it was reputed to be a potent natural antibiotic. And indeed, golden seal is actually one of the important 19th century remedies in the American pharmacopoeia as a natural infection fighter. So studies show that it's effective against E. coli, and Proteus, Klebsiella, and Staph, and Pseudomonas, which are all pathogens that can be associated with bladder infections. So in summary, the variety of techniques that can be used to reduce susceptibility to urinary problems, and it's really worthwhile because the conventional alternatives, taking lots of antibiotics, long-term, you run out of antibiotics you use, you develop antibiotic resistance. Also, we're very concerned about certain antibiotics that are commonly used for urinary tract infections, the so-called fluoroquinolones. There are reports of something called FQ syndrome or fluoroquinolone syndrome, people with very profound and long-lasting reactions to fluoroquinolones that result in very, very hard to treat, bizarre, uncomfortable neurological symptoms. So these are really to be used as a last resort, and it totally makes sense to employ natural approaches to dealing with urinary tract problems, but do so cautiously with the supervision of a nutritionally oriented or naturopathic medical person, just to make sure that you're not going too far down the line, because a serious urinary tract infection that is ignored may do serious permanent damage to your kidneys. And so you have to kind of play it safe. All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you have any additional questions on this subject, radio program at AOL.com, and we'll take it up during next week's Q&A with Layla section. Thanks for joining us. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.